Okay, we're going to continue with Paul's prayer with the thorn in the flesh. And I'm going to reread those scriptures, and I want you this time, if you can, to either look at it when we do it or listen, because what we're going to do is try to figure out, there's a little bit of movement in these verses in relationship to the external Jesus or the inward Jesus. Remember, we were talking like that. And remember, there's not two Jesuses. But where the place that we should go, because if we only understand the external Jesus in heaven and we pray to him, then there will never be any movement of him within us in relationship to the prayers that we were asking. And that's one of the things that I'll be dealing with in this to see it. But so listen, just see what you get out of it. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. All right. Anybody just in the reading of that pick up anything in relationship to external or inward Jesus?
The external is, I think, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talking to him. Yeah.
I listen. Oh, we're talking about the external Jesus, right?
No, we're talking about either one.
Oh, okay. I did for the internal Jesus, for when I am weak, then I am I strong. Because you notice that he says, for when I am weak. He doesn't say, then is, you know, Christ outside of me strong. He says I, but really he's saying Christ in me.
Right. So absolutely.
And it couldn't be Jesus on the outside by how he says it.
Same absolutely. Great. Y'all are making me happy.
The Lord says, my strength is made perfect in weakness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's internal.
Mm-hmm.
And my grace is sufficient for thee. To me, sounds like something he already has. Like, it's already been given him.
Mm.
Like, I'm not giving you something that you don't already have. Like,
right.
What you have in you is sufficient for what you're going through if you want to go through it instead of be delivered from it.
Yeah, I think that response from the Lord can be taken either way. What do y'all think? I mean, it could be God saying, my grace is sufficient, and he's saying, I'm extending it to you. But I believe the main thing that he's saying is that. But we know that we have prayed and the Lord has given us grace in a situation where we needed it. Yes. One more time, and it'll be thrice. but not in this case. I think that Lindsay's correct on that. But again, I think that many times we have been praying to the external Christ, and he has extended grace to us in that moment, you know. So either way on that one. Yeah, Kelly?
Just we were talking about how to determine external and internal.
Mm-hmm.
And usually the external prayer is asking him to do something. You know, that there's a request to do something.
Right.
And the internal is when you finally realize Jesus is in you. And
right.
You're wanting Jesus in you to be something. Instead of God to do something, Jesus in you to be something.
Yeah, and I think some of the scriptures we're going to go over, we'll end with on this, is the is being able to see that real interchange going on there. I mean, it's really a pretty powerful thing when you think about it. And if you've never really thought about, you know, this in this line before, then I'm sure that most of us just pray to God, period. He's up there somewhere and I'm praying, and you know. So what this is helping us to do, Lord willing, is to identify when he's extending something, or when he is, and in some cases not even suggesting anything, like with Jesus, he didn't suggest that, you know, not my will but thine be done. That's what he wanted, because Jesus said, not my will but thine be done. That was his will, but he didn't say to Jesus, now here's what I want you to do, so stop asking for, you know, deliverance from this thing. It just came up in Jesus's heart. So that's the internal Jesus. So from some of these scriptures and things, you know, what I'm hoping that we'll see is that there is a real relationship of Christ, and we've been calling it external Christ up here and internal Christ or inward Christ here. But really, like in Jesus's case, it was him to the Father. And there is that relationship that the Father and the Son have within us, mm-hmm. you know, within us. Mm-hmm. And it's an eternal relationship. It's not a crisis. What did you call it? Or somebody called it a 911. Oh, it was Steve. Called it a 911 prayer. You know, I like that. It was like, give me 911. Fix this problem now. Instead of it being that, it's actually, if you think about it, when Jesus said, not my will but thine be done, it was a blessing. It was a honoring of the Father, honoring of his Father. And, you know, I mean, we're talking about prayer, but when the disciples heard Jesus pray, they said, teach us to pray. And so most Christians go through that and then they pray the Lord's Prayer. I mean, particularly Catholics do that, but, you know, at least they're praying the word. But Jesus wasn't saying that and all those specific words to be the prayer, but rather to get a spirit of relationship with the Father. It starts with our Father, our. This is even before he died and rose again and is in us. He said, when you pray, pray this, our Father. And so I think that we can try to have, you know, we can try to have a relationship with the Father. I mean, I never had my real father at home. To, you know, he left when I was about 3 or whatever, maybe earlier than that. So I don't even know what that's like. So when the thought came, when I became a Christian, well, you know, you're going to have a relationship with the Father. I thought, well, all I remember is that he used to beat us and yell at us and doing all this kind of stuff. Well, I don't know if I want a relationship with him, you know. But it's not our relationship. It's Jesus's relationship. Yeah. But he is our Father. Mm-hmm. But the relationship is built on the Father and the Son. Who did John say that? That, you know, I write these things, talking about what we know as the scripture, 1 John. I write these things that you might have fellowship with us. Mm-hmm. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. Now think about that. I mean, that's really kind of saying it's not even your relationship. It is entering into that. So that's one of the reasons why I've, you know, felt the Spirit of God moving me in this direction, is so that we could begin to identify the difference of things instead of, you know, it's like The Father's up there on the throne. And so we're just throwing our garbage at it, you know, pulling a dump truck up and dumping it on the on the throne and saying, fix all this stuff. Or we're entering into a relationship between the Father and the Son. And that's eternal. That's mm-hmm. eternal. And it always was, and it always be. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Anybody else have another comment on that before we move along? All right. So I wrote down pertaining to these scriptures. So Paul prayed to the external Jesus, heard from the external Jesus to go with the inward Jesus.
That's right. There we go.
Just simplified version there. So there are normal situations that you get into in life where you would just automatically pray to the external Jesus, just certain situations. And you would do that without even considering the internal Jesus. So there are those. Can anybody think of an area that might be the case where you always would go to the external Jesus instead of to the internal Jesus?
Yeah. I mean, when a family member is really suffering, especially mm-hmm. one where, you know, it's not like, oh, this person's 95 and, you know,
yeah,
you know, something harder.
Yeah, that's a perfect example. Yeah.
Financial problems.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Something sudden, unexpected, like your car breaking down, something practical and unexpected and inconvenient.
Yeah. And not all of them necessarily are totally confined to the external Jesus, you know, but they are, but the ones y'all are mentioning are good examples, because, you know, that's part of the relationship too. I mean, if you had a father and you had a car wreck, and it wasn't his car, you might call him right up and be happy to call help me, you know. If it's his car, then you don't want to call him. Okay, so one of the ones I wrote down is when someone hurts your feelings, but can we not move by the internal Jesus also in that situation? Mm-hmm. Instead of it just being an external need? All right, we'll get into some scriptures that deal with that. Okay, and then I put being stolen from, and you know who did it. Mm. You know, it's either murder or go to the Father, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All right, so did someone else have a comment? Okay, Matthew 5. And this one is, you know, I was really glad that the Holy Spirit gave me this scripture for us today, because it's just a great, great, great set of scripture. Two verses, or, yeah. Matthew 5, verse 43 and 44. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good unto them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So in these verses here, which Jesus are you trusting in?
Internal.
Okay. And you want to give a specific from those scriptures?
Loving your enemies and blessing them that curse you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's nothing external he can give you that makes that work. You know what I mean?
That's right.
It has to come from him, because he's not just going to, like, hand you love to then hand to your enemy. You know what I mean?
See, and that's the thing. But think about it. If we have an enemy and they do something to us, and we would, pray or whatever, we would immediately pray to the external Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if y'all got that, then that's important because Jesus himself, who you would probably try to be praying to in this situation, is saying, don't pray to me.
The only things the external Jesus would give you there, I feel like, would just negate the situation where you have to love your enemies.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Which would be his nature within us. It would be him. Amen. I thought it interesting because, and maybe this is just me, the way I've always read these scriptures was that Jesus says, but I say unto you, you know, love your enemies and bless those who curse you and do good unto those who hate you and pray for them which despitefully use you or persecute you. Just like that. That's it. But as I was, and it's one of the beautiful things about sharing and teaching and ministering the word is the Holy Spirit talks to you. And I had never really noticed the way that this is lined up. It is love your enemies. Okay, now forget that. Go do that. Bless those who are cursing you. That's different than your enemy over here. That's somebody cursing you. Bless them. Don't love them. Bless them. Mm. The next one is do good to those that hate you. So if you have someone that hates you, they may not be, attacking you or whatever. They may not even be considered an enemy to you. They might hate you. They might be jealous of you for some reason, and then they just hate you. But do good unto them that hate you. Do good. So, you know, the scripture that says, well, if your enemy thirsts, give them a cold glass of water. Y'all familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
So before I really saw this, I would be going to my enemies or someone that curses me and giving them a cold glass of water, you know, which would be correct, doing good to them. But if I went to the one that cursed me, I'm supposed to bless them, not give them a cold. I'm not supposed to do good to them.
Okay.
Now, you know, I think the nature of Christ dictates those things. Once we learn to flow with his nature in us instead of our own, you know. But I just found that really interesting. And then the pray for, it was almost like, well, don't pray for your enemies or pray for them that curse you or pray for them that hate you, but pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, you take that any way you want to, but it just was interesting to me that Jesus would divide it up in categories.
Mm-hmm.
And why, I mean, this is just me again. Why, Lord, why wouldn't you just say, love them all?
Right.
But he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you have it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these aren't just inward Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's the last two. Despitefully use you and persecute you is to pray for them. So that's external Jesus.
For them.
Did y'all miss that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was there. The first three, was it three? Yeah, the first three deal with something you do. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so what is this? I mean, what does that even mean in a certain sense? If someone is... is your enemy or someone hates you or someone is
cursing you,
if they're doing that, he is saying, don't, by giving us this, he's saying, don't come to me in prayer unless it's the last two, despitefully use you and persecute.
Mm.
Don't come to me. He is. He's saying, don't come to me. This is Jesus telling us this. He says, I want you to do this. I want you to love your enemies. I want you to bless them. I want you to do good. And only on the last two did he say, you can come to me in prayer.
Mm.
To the external Jesus. All right. So you say, well, are, you know, are you splitting hairs here? I don't know. Ask Jesus. He's the one who said that. But it's like, if there's a seriousness in your heart that you really want to enter into a true intimate relationship with God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, then it would mean that we have to start, you know, taking away just this big blob of a relationship that's sort of, you know, one size fits all. And we start finding out what his heart was. And if his heart in this situation, because we'd be praying, Lord, you know, we could be praying against our enemies, or we could be praying for them. And Jesus is going, look, I just want you to love them. And what if just, if they were our enemies, what if just loving them would bring about the result that he wanted and nothing else would? Certainly not our prayers. I mean, I'm just trying to show you that imagine talking to a friend and something, and somebody you like, and, you know, they y'all had a good friendship and whatever, and they were from a foreign country, and they're trying to explain to you certain things that you don't understand based on your culture, not just your language. And you kept violating that stuff, and, you know, then, you know, where would the friendship go? Well, how much more the Lord? See, the problem here is we don't treat him like he's a real person. Mm. We don't. We don't treat Jesus like he's a real person. And we certainly don't treat him like he's really our life. Mm. You know, how fast can we make a decision without even thinking about him? Mm-hmm. You know? Real fast, folks. How often? A lot. Okay. So, is Jesus real? Yeah. Is he in us? Yeah. Is he seated at the right hand of the Father so that we can pray to him? Yeah. But what if he has a prescribed way to deal with the ones that are cursing you, that will help bring them in, and you refuse to use that one because you're trying to love them when he knows love won't work, you know, or in this case, you should have done good. I mean, he knows, we don't know, I don't know, but he knows, so he's the one who just, he put that order. So anyway, it may seem like I'm, you know, staying on it for a lot, but like I said, I had never seen this before. And when I saw it, it kind of smote my heart. Mm-hmm. Paul, you know, he got, who knows where, at what point in his relationship with the Lord, because he got pretty deep after a while. Yeah. But he got into this terrible situation. He probably didn't know any other Christian that had a demon that was messing with him like that, you know, especially a God-sent demon, but he probably didn't know that it was. So he's freaked out, and so he prays. And the Lord does exactly what we're talking about here. His response is, you know, bear this in a right spirit. Bear this in a right spirit. And understand why this is going on. Because, you know, again, the fact that God would send a messenger of Satan to buffet him, 99.3, I think it is, Christians would think that that's heresy, you know. But it's right there in everybody's Bible, so they just ignore it. Well, you know, read Job, you know? I mean, that's not the only place, but I mean, there's plenty of examples. And what that says to me is not, it doesn't lower God in my eyes. It lets me know that he really is in charge over all of it, you know? So if I mean, I really felt like, and this didn't say, you know, this didn't say that a demon came on the inside of Paul and said, you know, I'm here and I'm going to take over. You know, it says it was a messenger
buffeting him.
And with Job, it didn't say that Job got demon possessed or whatever. See, those are two different things. But the devil is just a tool. And if you don't know this yet, you need to learn it. The devil is just a tool in the hands of the Lord. And so, again, well, I haven't said this part yet, so I'll wait. All right, so so I wrote the first three, which is enemies curse you and hate you. The first three require inward Jesus, a change inside of you. Get this now. The first three require a change inside of us, but not a change in them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We would think, I mean, our Christianity would tell us, no, we're okay. We're not cursing. We're not doing this and that. They need to change. And I'm going to pray to God that they change. You see, there's some violation going on here because we don't really understand that relationship, the difference between Christ in us, the inward Christ and the external Christ, who we're wanting to change contrary to what he already taught us. So, and we're not doing it maliciously, we're doing it Christianly. In other words, we're being more Christian than we are allowing Christ to live in us. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christianity is not the hope of glory. All right. So the fourth one requires prayer. So that's external Jesus. All right. Now let's see. Did I go to verse? Yeah, let's go to verse Matthew chapter 6, verse 5.
Verse what?
5. Okay. All right. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, as they are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Okay, so which Jesus is the hypocrite praying to?
External.
Possibly neither.
Most likely themselves.
Yeah. That is a real possibility. Neither one. He can stand on the corner and look up like this, you know, or even lift his hands and go, "Oh God," you know, and God's going, "Who's he talking to up here?" The prayers are kind of going like, you know,
it's gravity affecting your words.
Gravity is pulling your prayers down. All right, so. So do you think, and it says this, but I'm going to just say the question anyway. Do you think that he's praying to get a reward?
Or do people be like, oh, that guy's a Christian.
Yeah.
Right.
He knows God.
So what reward do you think he's seeking by doing this?
Recognition.
Yeah. Admiration. Because he's... a lot of times, I think some of the other Gospels don't just say the hypocrite. I think they say the Pharisees or something like that. Yeah. So it's somebody trying to be seen as spiritual. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a little easier back then because they had...
outfits.
Yeah, they had an outfit. and if you get an outfit, you can be a hypocrite too. So my question I wrote down is, why is Jesus saying not to pray that way?
because you're looking for a reward.
Okay.
Because there's no internal, there's no relationship with the Father and the Son at all happening there. It's man praying into the air. It's just dead.
Yeah.
There's no internal or external. It's, there's
right.
no real communion.
Yeah.
There's no real life happening at all.
I don't know if you guys know that, but the word hypocrite, where that comes from in the Bible, it comes from where they would put on these dramas.
Oh, boy.
This is the truth.
Yeah.
They would put on these dramas, and the person, they would wear masks for different people and stuff like that. And that wearing of a mask, they were called hypocrites.
Mm.
And it later became known as, you know, well, that's not real, or you're not real, or you're
wearing
trying to be somebody you're not, or whatever. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
That's literally where it came from. We've probably all been hypocrites at one time or another.
Oh, for sure.
The way we've wanted to present ourselves is really with the Lord, or, you know, really praying. And I won't name the person. We've had a person in our church that we're going to have 7 days of prayer. And so we would come in and do early morning prayer and stuff like that. And so we were praying, and we had the kneelers out, and we prayed, and you could hear people, some praying a little loud or some just softly, and looked over, and like I said, I won't say the name of the person, but his initials are Mike Wallace. and he was over there like this. And he kept falling asleep, and he's working his hands to hold his head up, and he's doing all this stuff, and he was about as close as we are. And I said, Mike, he looked up at me, and I said, that doesn't count. But anyway, you know, because, I mean, you're wanting to look good or whatever, although when we're praying, we're not supposed to be looking around anyway that much. But it was just funny. And if he knew I shared this, he'd laugh with us.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your Son, that you have placed him in us, and that he is alive, and that he wants to, through his heart and through his spirit and through his nature, to not just live out to your glory, but also to fellowship with you in these earthen vessels. You are the treasure. You are the treasure, Jesus. And Father, we just ask you to continue to deal with us in relationship to these areas. They're really not that complicated, Father, but to just begin to deal with us in a way that we would be able to come to you in a manner that is prescribed by your Son, and that is going to generate more intimacy from us as we, instead of always coming to you in prayer to change everything, that we would say, and we wouldn't even pray, Lord, change us to that. We would pray, Lord, let the change which is Christ in us be that change and manifest through us, Father. And so we thank you that we have all the resources of the inward Christ within us at all times. We never will lack of the resource of his nature and of his heart, Father. And so as we grow in that, as we learn that, as we grow up into him in all things, may you see more of a flow back to you of us giving the answer to our prayers, our external prayers, giving it back to you in nature form, instead of just expecting you to always move externally for our lives, our earthly lives. So we put this in your blessed hands, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.